Thank you all for coming out tonight. I'll focus tonight on the 19th parak of Tehillim, the Torah of Nature and the Nature of Torah. As we move from last week to this week, from the last week when we focused on the beginning of the Sefer, parak Aleph, to this week when we focused on the beginning of the, among other things, beginning of the Pesukei Dezimra of Shabbos. And both prakim are give us a focus on Torah, fit within our theme of preparing for Shavuos, by exploring the Pirkei Tehillim that give us insight into Torah. And let's explore what's added here, let's explore what's different here. Showing the first parak we explored last week, Ashrei HaYish, as we saw, a lot of the focus on Torah in that parak was on the tachsisim, was on strategies, was on techniques, how to learn, how to set oneself up for success in learning. While here we're going to see sort of looking at the next step, not what goes into learning as much as where learning can take us to. And also this parak is built in a very fascinating way. We touched on this parak just to scratch the surface at the end of the previous year. I mentioned that the many Mefarshim point out that there's a striking divide in the parak. You open up Parak Yudalef, you're looking at the Tehillim at the back of the Siddur, you're looking at the this parak at the beginning of the Pesukei Dezimra of Shabbos. But it seems as though there are that there are two parts. After the opening introduction, L'matzeach Mizmor David, the next six psukim speak of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. Hashamayim Misaprim Kvod Keil Maasei Adav Magida Arkiya. Look around and we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicated to us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glory communicated to us through his world. And then in Pasuk Ches, sort of turn the corner and shift from looking at the world to looking at the Torah. Torah is Hashem Tamima, Yerus Hashem Nemana, and so on and so forth. That's, we sort of began to note that at the end of the last year. The truth is there are really three parts. The first part is Hashamayim Misaprim Kvod Keil, beginning with the Pasuk Beis. The second part is Torah Hashem Tamima, beginning with Pasuk Ches. And then there's the third part, Gam Avdecha Nizhar Behem, or Hanechmadim Yizav Pazrav. Very aptly titled, the first section is about Hashamayim, find HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the sky, and the second section is Torah Hashem Tamima, noticing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his Torah. And then the last segment is Gam Avdecha Nizhar Behem, is about how it impacts us and how we grow. So let's begin by focusing on the first two segments. And then we'll return to the third. And as we think about, first about the relationship between the content of the first two segments. So as we mentioned last time, a number of Mefarshim, Radak, Ibn Ezra, and perhaps the Malbim, sort of see these two segments. The question seems to be that there's such a disconnect. First, we're talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu nature, then all of a sudden, we're talking about Torah, how these two, there's no transition between Pasuk Zayin and Pasuk Ches. As he mentioned, that a number of those Mefarshim say, no, these are two different tools that work towards the same goal. Noticing HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Bria, noticing HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Torah. We mentioned last time, I think we had ended with this, the quote-unquote stira in the Rambam. That when the Rambam speaks about the mitzvah of Avos Hashem in the Sefer HaMitzvos, and then we had that discussion about the mitzvah of Avos Hashem in the Mishnah Torah, in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, in both places he notes that it's particularly dramatic about it in the Yesodei HaTorah, one of the fundamental mitzvahs we're meant to speak about this every single day in Kriya Shema. V'haftos Hashem Elokecha. A mitzvah to have an emotional relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a clearly very central mitzvah, and it's the expectation. This isn't just the Midas Chasidus, this is a tzivoy, where a Jew is obligated to figure out how to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to do so. And it's a tall order. Developing a emotionally substantive relationship with another human being, itself is sometimes a tall order. And it's another human being who I see and who I hear and who I can feel and who I can sit with and look at and observe how he or she interacts and acts and responds, and there's body language and there's conversation. None of that with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How is to, seems like a very tall order indeed. How am I supposed to, in every Jew? So like from Bar Bas Mitzvah, I have a chiv to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam says that is a tall order, and here, and what's the tool you're going to use? So in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam says, you explore, a person throws oneself into Torah, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's word, you begin to come to know and appreciate and love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Sefer HaMitzvahs, the way to Avas Hashem is through learning Torah. In the Mishnah Torah, which the Rambam wrote when he was older, in Hilchos Yesodei HaTorah, beginning with Perek Beis, Perek Aleph, the opening chapter in the whole Mishnah Torah, is about the basic mitzvahs of Emunah, to believe in a Borei Olam, to believe there is one and only power, runs the entire world, monotheism. And then the very next Perek here says, and we have mitzvahs not only to believe in God, but to have relationships with Him. Ahava and Yira, and Heachi HaDerech, and what's the path to that Ahava and that Yira? So there, in Mishnah Torah, the Rambam says, to explore HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation. And that's why Prakim Beis, Gimel, and Dalet of Yesodei HaTorah, the second, third, and fourth Prakim of the entire Mishnah Torah, are the Rambam's very brief tour of all of creation. In Perek Beis, he takes you through the spiritual parts of the world, through the heavens. And then Paragim takes you through the skies, and Paragdai takes you through, you know, the creatures on planet Earth. So that's what's often presented as a stira, is the derech to avos Hashem through lima Torah, the derech to avos Hashem through appreciating the world, studying science and studying psychology. Which one is it? And so the way it's often noted, I think there are numbers from that point, that it's not really a stira at all. That's a really, there's no question. The answer is it A or is it B? The answer is yes. The answer is it's both. And that's exactly what the Radak and Ibn Ezra see in this parak. One can find HaKadosh Baruch Hu and come to love HaKadosh, recognize, appreciate, and even come to, as Ram says, come to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu and care about HaKadosh Baruch Hu through finding Him in the Bria, Hashemayim, Asaprin, Kol Kael, and one can come to know HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu through His Torah. Torah is Hashem Tamima. Not just Torah, but Hashem's Torah. The Feivel Meltzer takes us to the next level. Who is Feivel Meltzer? The last name is familiar. Yisro Zalman Meltzer, one of the great Talmidim, one of the great Rosh Yeshiva of pre-war Europe, the great Talmidim of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, Reb Chaim Brisker. And in terms of family relationships, I think this is Zalman Meltzer, the author of the Evan Hazel, is often most famous for his son-in-law, Aaron Cutler. He had other children as well, not only his daughter who married, Chava Perel, Rebbetzin Cutler. He had several other children as well. I want to introduce you to one of them. His name, he has a son named Feivel. Feivel Meltzer, grew up in Kavna, I believe, and learned in Slutsk in his father's yeshiva. I believe learned in Kelm and Slabodka as well. And then he made Aliyah in 1921, came to Yerushalayim, and went from there to Berlin for several years to get his doctorate, and then came back to Eretz Yisrael, lived the rest of his life in Eretz Yisrael. He was very connected with the Mizrahi movement. He was very, very involved in learning Tanakh and teaching Tanakh. A deep Yirei Shamayim and Talmud Chacham. Somewhat different flavor from some other members of his family, although it's reported that he never gave I don't know what never means, but at least there was a period of time during which he did not give a single shir in Tanakh without running it by his mother first, Rebbetzin Meltzer, who apparently was in Milumedas, and particularly in the field of Tanakh. A fascinating family connection. And he taught Tanakh in many different contexts, in many different fora. He is one of the people who is one of the leaders of the Masada Rav Kook's parish on Tanakh, and he taught Tanakh on the radio apparently for years and years and years. So sort of like a Taitz's Gemara shir on the radio in America. Apparently, Feivel Meltzer gave a shir for years, decades, I'm not sure how long, and a daily Tanakh shir on the radio. And his Shi'urim on Tehillim were published several decades ago by Masad Rav Kook under the name Pnei Sefer Tehillim. It's fascinating, rich, deep, lyrical. You really get a sense of, you begin to get a sense of the man, and so much insight. So he has a lot to say in this parak. Now, one of the things he does is he points to a comment of the Sefer HaKuzri. Rida Levi, deep into Mamre Beis, I think he says it's Os Simen Nunvav, he says it's not just this and that. Okay, you can find a Kaddish Baruch Hu through nature, and you can find a Kaddish Baruch Hu through Torah, but a point that the Malbim develops extensively, Feivel Meltzer points out the Sefer HaKuzri already has, and that's there's a step up. Because let's take a look inside. And you look at the psukim. Let's look first at this first segment. Shamayim esaprin kol keil maaseh adov magida rakia. The skies speak of the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The skies speak of maaseh yadav. You see HaKadosh Baruch Hu's handiwork. Yom liyom abiyah omer layla el chavados. You see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in day and night. So this is the big picture of the sky as a whole. And then there's a focus, as this first part of the parak continues, there's a focusing specifically on one item within the sky, and that is the sun. A focus on the sun, and the last two psukim of this first segment, so poetic. The Ramah looks at the sky and he sees the sun going from east to west every single day, like a chasen leaving the chuppah, and like a racer running in a race. Mikzeh shamayim motzao skuf asol kitzosam ein nistar mechamasav. From one end it traverses the sky, from one end to the other, nothing is hidden from the warmth of the sun. And in fact, we know that all energy, everything that happens physically on this world is powered by the energy that comes from the sun. And then the Kuzri says, as we're looking at the cosmos, specifically at the sky, we're particularly drawn to the brightest light and the most powerful, the most energetic, both literally and figuratively, elements of the Bria. But that pales compared to Torah. Torah, which is a source of real hashavas hanefesh, chachma. And then right away, the very first thing you hear is Torah Hashem Tamima. The sun is very impressive. And the sun certainly is, in many ways, appreciating the sun might be the height of Hashamayim Mesaprin Kvod Kel, the opening pasuk of that first segment. To know HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to hear the world, and specifically the sky, so to speak, to hear the sky telling you of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and specifically appreciating the sun. And yet that pales compared to Torah Hashem, which is Tamima, and which is Mi'iras Einayim. The aura of Torah is far greater, the Sefer HaKuzri writes, than finding HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Bria, and even in the sun. So it's not just a question of this, and also that, and there are different tools and methodologies, modalities for finding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's certainly true. But at the same time, nature is a very powerful way to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Torah so much more so. We don't have time to go through the details, but you take a look in the comments of the Malbim, he sees a lot of parallels. He takes you through every single one of the six psukim about nature, and then the six parallel phrases, Torah Hashem Tamima Eis Hashem Emanah, shows how each time it's, you know, nature is a powerful way to find a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but Torah even more so. But I want to turn not only to thinking about the content And the content of what these two parts of the Mizmor tell us about finding HaKadosh Baruch Hu in these two different ways, but the Tzura, the format, is also very, very striking. And offhand, as you read these psukim, it seems like not only is there a difference in the topic of the two segments, but there's a striking difference in terms of style. The first segment is so rich and so flowing and so poetic. And even looking at that opening pasuk, Shamayim Mesaprim Kvod Kel, Maasei Adav Magid HaRakia. They're beautiful lyrical phrases, and the order switches. Shamayim Mesaprim Kvod Kel, not HaRakia Magid Maasei Adav, and Maasei Adav Magid HaRakia. And these psukim continue to flow so richly. Then, as soon as you shift from pasuk Zayin to pasuk Ches, not just a topic shift from nature to Torah, but the style totally shifts. It's regimented, staccato. Torah Hashem Timima, Meshivas Nafash. Es Hashem Mana, Machkimas Pesach. The same exact style, 6 times in a row. So very, 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 very boxy, regimented. So different. So much the opposite of the flowing poetry of the first segment about nature. So two thoughts on that. Number one, Feivel Meltzer says, yes, it's much more orderly. He says, but you look at the language, and it's such beautiful poetry. There's nothing flat about what's being said. Tos Hashem Timima, Meshivas Nafesh, Machimas Pesim, Misamche Lev, Meire Seinayim. It's so up. The words are so uplifting. Bahavdil, there's one writer who noted that when you as a high school student, when you learn about what a sonnet is, it sounds incredibly dry and incredibly narrow. A very specific meter and a very specific rhyme scheme, a specific number of lines, and it seems so. It's such a straitjacket, and what are you going to talk about already? And what beauty, what feeling are you going to convey? And how much variety can there be? And yet, if you look at sonnets, there's tremendous amount of feeling have been expressed in so many of them. Tremendous amount of beauty and richness, and a tremendous array of topics and tremendous array of moods. So Lahavdil, you're seeing some of that. Feivel Meltzer points out, he doesn't give the mashal of the sonnet, but here. Yes, the second section of the Mizmar uses the same structure again and again and again, and at the same time it sings. At the same time it's uplifting to the skies. And then I would add more. Let's take it a step further, and that is perhaps this is very much by design. And perhaps there's a larger message being captured by the fact that at first there's poetry in a free-flowing way, then poetry in a more of a regimented way, because it's reminiscent, I think, looking at the first and second segments of the Mizmar, of a comment that Rav Alba made about the opening line in Mesillas Yesharim, Paragam Mesillas Yesharim, a comment that was so central to his thinking that actually became the title of the small sefer in which this comment is recorded. Yisod HaChasidus v'shorish ha'avodah tamima. Ramchal opens Mesillas Yesharim by talking about what's the kind of this. Mesillas Yesharim is meant to be a guidebook, a practical guidebook, a manual to a lifetime of growth, of ambitious growth as a Jew. So he begins with the foundation. And he goes on to say the foundation before he gets into any details is to understand why you're here and to understand the goal of life and takes it from why the HaKadosh Baruch Hu would put us here. We're not going to accomplish much of anything, certainly not in an ambitious and methodical way, unless we know why we're here and what we're meant to accomplish. But the way he opens, and there's lots to say about all of that, but for now, just the intro is the understanding, thinking carefully about these questions is the foundation of Chassidus and the root of a wholesome, whole, deep avodah. Yesod HaChassidus, V'shorish HaAvodah Tmimah. And Revolva wants to know why those two terms, Yesod and Shorish, a foundation and a root. Is it just about, you know, you want to have the Yud Kei Vav Kei, like the Rambam, Yesod HaChasiz, Shorish HaVot, you know, there are other words you could use as well. Rambam uses Yesod, but not Shorish. What's Ramchal driving at? In opening a safer on growth with those two metaphors. So Revolva has a fascinating comment. He says, foundations and roots, in a certain sense, are very much parallel. When you build a building, you start by laying the foundation. Everything else is built on that. When a plant grows, so you have the roots in the ground, and everything else grows off of that. And moreover, both the foundation and the roots are the part that you don't see, that are in the ground. They're not the pretty part that everyone looks at. And at the same time, without strong foundations or roots, you know, they're not the pretty part that everyone looks at, but they are the most critical part. Without them, nothing, none of that beauty will have any type of endurance. So they are the beginning of the process, respectively, of building and of organic growth. And Revolva suggests that's what perhaps what the Ramchal is trying to capture, to recognize as we begin to talk about first step of a Jew's growth, understand that's going to be a blend of a constructive process and a process of natural growth. And he very beautifully describes these part of a series of shmuzin that was published under the Hebrew name Zriyu Binyan Bechinuch, under the English name Planting and Building, for this reason. Because he says that the process of growing myself or of helping my children or Talmidim to grow, it needs to be a blend of the two. If it's all just imposed structure, you create a robot. If it's just allowing for natural self-expression with no structure, then you have just riotous para adam. You need the blend of the two. Sometimes I think about the way you grow tomatoes with steaks. Right? So you're not like feeding them into a box. They're going to grow. But if you just let them grow without any structure, they would just lie around on the ground. Never really go much of anywhere and never produce much. But if you give the vines the structure that you usually have, that sort of the framework that you have above a tomato planter, so that allow that blend of structure and natural organic growth is the ideal for tomatoes and for human beings. You sowed and shorish. Zriya ubinyan. That, I believe, is captured as well in this parak. First, you have just sort of like the sheer shotef, just like the flowing poetry of the first half. And then you have the structure of the second half. And perhaps with power that's being captured, you want that blend. And together, we're talking about how a person finds a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Not only is it going to be a blend of the two topics, of finding a Kadosh Baruch Hu through the physical Bria and through the spiritual gift of Torah, but also there's going to be a blend of the Zriya Ubinyan. And that finally brings us to think about where all of this takes us to, brings us to the close of this parak. The third segment, we had mentioned before, there are three segments. The focus on Hashemayim, on finding HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world and specifically in the sky. And then Torah Hashem Temima, finding HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Torah. And then there's the end. The Gam Avedecha Nizhar Bohem. Where does this bring me? Your Eved HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm your servant. And this is going to build me as your servant. And you look at the closing psukim, then when you're struck by the fact, once again, think about Mesilas Yesharim, the entire Sefer Mesilas Yesharim, the frame, the whole Sefer, is a comment in Avodah Zarah, I believe it's Daf Yutes. Rabbi Pinchas Beyer speaks about a progression of growth for a Jew. Step one leads to step two, and step two leads to step three, and so on and so forth. And step one is the Hiros. That's the first, after the introductory parak, the next four prakim, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, and Hey, Mesilas Yesharim, are focused on Zehiros. He defines it. It means living thoughtfully, contemplatively, and talks about how you can implement that and techniques, things to think about, pitfalls to beware. Zehiros is the first step of methodical, ambitious growth. Gam avdecha nizhar bahem. Zehiros. Interesting. As a matter of fact, the opening line in that Gemara, according to the Ramchal's Gira, says, Torah mevi'el ades hiros. It's exactly what you see here. Torah, the middle segment, brings a Jew to Zahiris. And I think it's interesting to think about the themes that emerge from these closing psukim, from this third segment. And to look, maybe even backing up a little bit, number one is psukim yud alef and yud beis. Hanachmadim izav mipazrav, mesukim idvashin of psukim. Torah is more attractive than gold, and it's sweeter than honey. Your servant, I, David says humbly, I'm also careful because I care about Ekev Rav, what I'm going to get in return. In other words, Lechora says, Helman Farshim speak along the following lines. The motivation, that the first topic in this third segment of how a Jew grows, is motivation. Pasuk Gidav, ideally, I'm drawn to the beauty of Torah. I'm drawn to the beauty of the Ribbono Shel. It's Lishma. I recognize that Kesha Kadosh Baruch Hu is more attractive and more sweet than anything else. But if not, David says, I'm not in the Madrig of Lishma. So Shalal Lishma. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives Schar. That's sort of the first segment of where Bria and Torah can get me to. Thinking about my growth in terms of motivation. Lishma, Shalal Lishma. And the second segment, the second field in my growth, is the next two psukim. Shigiyos mi yavin mi nistaras nakeni. First, as Rashi comments, David Davin Hakadosh Baruch Hu, I'm going to make mistakes. There's going to be shkiyos. Help me. It's beyond human capacity to never make mistakes. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, help me. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, cleanse me. Mi nistaras nakeni. And then, gami zedim chasocha avdecha. And please help me steer clear of zedonos. And even of Pesharav. So there's a recognition that there's on the one hand, you think about what one's motivation is. What's my motivation to do the right thing? Is it Lishma? Is it Shalom Lishma? Then you also recognize the flip side of the coin is we all struggle with the Yetzirah. And sometimes the struggle is mild, sometimes it's severe. And just a struggle to be responsible, not to be negligent and fall into Chet B'Shogeg. And sometimes it's a more difficult struggle that I know it's wrong, and yet I'm being drawn to it anyways. And then finally, the last pasuk of this third segment. You thought about what my motivation is, l'shma shelo l'shma. Think about the struggles we have with the Yetzirah in various flavors and various strengths. Shigios and Zedonos and the desire and the opportunity for cleansing, which is really remarkable, the gift of tshuva, that's sort of the middle part of this closing segment. And then finally, the closing pasuk, Yihu l'ratzon imri fi, v'hegi libi lifanecha, Hashem tziri v'goali. The pasuk opens, Rishonim point out, by talking about the different parts of me with which I reach out to Kadosh Baruch Hu. My avoda can be expressed through imri fi, and expressed through Hegyon Libi. There's what I say, and there's also what I don't even say, but what I think. In other words, Avos Hashem plays out externally in terms of what I say, and certainly in terms of what I do, but Maso V'Dibor, in terms of my Chitzonius, and Avos Hashem at its core plays out in terms of my Pnimius, in terms of not only the Chovas Ha'Evarim, but the Chovas Ha'Levavas. What I think and what I feel, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky comments, Pirush al Torah, that lev in biblically he thinks means both heart and mind. So there's the imre fi, the external, and there's the hegyon libi. There's the heart and the mind, the thought and the feeling, and then he closes, Hashem tziri v'goali. I can have a kesher that Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he closes with a bitachon. He closes with a bitachon that Kadosh Baruch Hu is my rock, and I rely on him, and ultimately, I'm going to work, and I'm going to try to grow, and I'm going to try to grow in motivation, I'm going to try to overcome the Yetzirah, and I'm going to try to grow the Chitzonius b'fnimius, but ultimately, Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Goel, and that Kesher that I have with Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that bitachon I have with Kadosh Baruch Hu, is going to be the ultimate expression of everything this parak has spoken about. That sense of bitachon, that sense of kesher Kadosh Baruch Hu, is going to flow from my appreciation of Kadosh Baruch Hu's cosmos and from my appreciation of Kadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. And Kadosh Baruch Hu mezakas to continue to grow, inspired by this mizmor. Thank you so much.